This is the Leapcast, where we talk about how today's current events impact your real life. If you are tired of politics, or you are just exhausted from the spin, this show is for you. My name is Andrew Lieb, and every week I host a talk radio show breaking down the news from an independent point of view. We discuss real estate, business, and your health, hear from the experts, and learn the truth on the Leapcast.
Personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Lieb.
Morty. I have a need to move to Connecticut. And I'm just telling you.
Would you like to fill me in on this as your wife?
Well, you don't need to come, Lauren.
Okay.
Well, I'd love you to join me, but like...
I thought a happy wife is a happy life.
It's true. And Eleanor Roosevelt said multiple houses is the key to happy marriage, and we have multiple houses, so you stay. So here's the reason why I'm saying it. Connecticut Governor Lamont, is that how you say his name?
Is he French?
I don't know. Lamont. How do you think you say that?
Lamont.
He did something really smart, and Cuomo didn't do this. He reduced the taxes on beer by 16.7%. And we were just discussing golfing, and to me, the only thing I like about golfing is drinking and smoking cigars. Like, that's what I do. Like, there's the drink girl that comes around, always a girl, drink girl that comes around and gives you drinks. And in Connecticut, 16.7%, they just reduced the tax.
That's really significant.
Well, and they're saying it's to get Connecticut's craft brewery industry and associated jobs generated. And I think it's a good time to discuss jobs. Why? Because President Biden makes this, briefing room executive order on promoting competition in the American economy. His whole thing is about getting jobs. And I think Biden's doing it a little backwards. Lamont. I think he might be onto something. To make more jobs, forgetting the craft brewery, forgetting the employment, more people drinking beer while going golfing, making friends with each other.
It'll stimulate the economy.
Yeah, now that bars are opening up and people are going out, it's further incentive for people to go out and stimulate the economy.
So let me tell you what Biden's doing, because we got two different paths. One is reducing tax on beer. I have to tell you, as a politician, best move I've ever heard.
Why? Do you think it really people are going to go out more because the beer is less expensive?
No, but I think that everyone is for it and no one is against it. I don't think anyone. I don't think anyone is like, damn, of all the different things you could say, I'm going to reduce tax on something else. And then people are like, well, I don't use that. Why are they getting the break? Why am I getting the break? But everyone is, even people from AA, are going, beer is it's just a positive energy.
I don't think people are listening to this part, though, besides our listeners for the Leapcast.
I have no idea what you just said.
Does anybody know that there's a reduction in beer tax right now?
No,
because I see it all over the news.
That's because you live in New York. I'm sure there's going to be a great migration across the pond, and we're not talking to the English people. Across the Sound. We're going to go across the Long Island Sound on the Bridgeport Ferry to go get our beer. And more importantly, I want to just go back to this. People always ask me about politics. I get lots of conversations about it, more on the local level, because we do a lot of land use. Like Steve Ciliato, our partner in real estate, he was promoted to partner recently. He does a lot of land use. Yeah. And people come to me and they ask me about land use. And I always say, make the politician look good and get approved. It's pretty simple stuff. Like land use, Morty and I have seen a few share of this. On land use, it's very limitedly about the law. Like the standard, if they do something wrong, is arbitrary and capricious, which is very hard to prove. In fact, I've seen recent case that says prior decisions by a village or town or city are not binding on the village, town, or city. So if they do a whole new decision that's comp, it's not binding. We previously would say, Morty, that you'd FOIL freedom of information law, see what they previously did, and say you did this before, so if you don't do it, it's arbitrary and capricious. Now the courts disagree with that. But setting that aside for a second, because everyone's face in the room, even Morty's, is looking at me like a blank stare. No.
I hear words.
But the point is, if you, what is land use, Lauren? You want to build a hotel. You want to build a second story. You want to go do something.
I want to change what's going on.
You need in land.
You want to build porter potties on golf courses.
You need permission from
luxury porter potties.
You need permission from the town, village, or city. And my only point to you is that politicians become politicians truthfully because they like power. You could say it's altruistic and they want to help the community. I'm sure there's a part of it. People aren't one-dimensional beings. But once they get a taste of that power, they want to stay in power. And how do you stay in power? Make decisions that your constituents who vote like. And I've never seen someone say, you should get Lauren out of office and elect me instead because she reduced taxes on beer. It's just a winning argument. Like, imagine the campaign. You walk around with a drink. The governor's got some. So anyway.
It sounds like somebody that owns a lot of the beer in Connecticut is going to get something positive happening out of this.
Or the golfers. But anyway, I want to shift, though, Lauren. I told you, because Biden wrote a, what is this thing? 16-page executive order. It had a lot of words. It's like watching his speeches. They just say a lot of stuff, and then you're like, but you said nothing. Like, He's a word man. He likes the words. I'm not into the words, I have to tell you. No, seriously, like,
yeah.
On when we're talking on a radio, and I have to. That's
I would
a whole
say
nother
that
story.
You love words.
I love limited words. I love succinct words. I love if you could say something in a paragraph instead of 16 pages. Do that. Like, let's get anyway. So he has this thing that he wants to create a competitive marketplace. Because that's the cornerstone of the American economy. We all agree. Fair, open, competitive, that is the cornerstone. Biden talks about four different categories of things he wants to deal with. Number one, workers. You know what? Let's do workers last because that's the one I really want to touch. Small business and farmers. He puts them together. I don't know how they're together, but I've seen very big farms. But small business and farmers. He wants them to have choice among suppliers and major buyers. He wants more take-home income. He wants them to be able to invest in their enterprises. Duh. For entrepreneurs, he wants them to have space to experiment, innovate, and pursue new ideas. Duh. For consumers, he wants more choice, better service, and lower prices. Duh. But the one that I want to talk about, Morty, workers. He wants to create more high-quality jobs. We all agree with that one. But here's the part I don't understand. Freedom to switch jobs or negotiate a higher wage. I agree with the negotiate a higher wage thing. But what he's really saying about freedom to switch jobs, and you have to read through the 16 pages. You have to bury it through. And what I did, Morty, is I read the whole thing. And if you go to page 7, it's under the section called G, if you want to go read it yourself. He writes this. To address agreements that may unduly limit workers' ability to change jobs, the chair of the FTC is encouraged to consider working with the rest of the commission to exercise the FTC's statutory rulemaking authority under the Federal Trade Commission Act to curtail the unfair use of non-compete clauses and other clauses or agreements that may unfairly limit worker mobility.
So is he saying no more non-competes?
It seems to say that he's telling them to issue regulations to get rid of non-competes. And I read this thing, and beer, lowering the tax. Le Mans. I'm with you, doggy. Like, this is good stuff, Mr. Governor Lamont. Now, on the other hand, Biden. And I have to, it's very charged words he says there. He says curtail the unfair use of non-compete clauses. Why are they inherently unfair? Why doesn't he just say curtail non-compete clauses to the extent they are unfair? Do you understand?
Well, the law already does that. As you know, Andrew, courts are very reluctant to enforce non-compete agreements because they see it as a restriction on people's ability to compete fairly in the market. And but they're only going to turn it down. They're only going to enforce it if it's reasonable. So the unfair ones are not going
to
be enforced.
But that's not the way he wrote it. He didn't write to the extent they're unfair. He said the unfair use of non-competes, meaning that the use of non-competes is unfair. It's inherently unfair. And I just want to differentiate. I know I'm nitpicking on words here, but I think this is a very important slippery slope for business in the United States that we all have to be mindful of. If he's saying, and maybe it's just a bad writing, although 16 pages, you got to get it right, man.
Right.
If he's saying, to the extent a non-compete is unfair, I want the FTC to have regulations to deal with fairness. If he's saying non-competes are inherently unfair, I have a major problem with that. Because you know what? If you're going to give someone a major salary, and Morty, can you give a non-compete to a line worker? Like, is it ever going to be upheld? This is, I think, a fundamental starting point. Am I ever, if I gave a waitress in a diner a non-compete, that's not ever being upheld, right?
No, not in a million years. And actually, I think I heard Biden, when he was asked in a press conference, he was mentioning how fast food workers are being forced to sign non-competes. I've personally never heard of such a thing.
But if they are signed, a fast food worker, it would never, ever be upheld. Am I clear about that?
Correct. Correct. Because it's only enforceable to the extent that it protects an employer's interest. So if you have a high-level employee that is able to have access to all this confidential information about sales and client preferences – yeah, there's a protectable interest, but what's the protectable interest for someone serving burgers at Burger
King? Well, everybody has a right to earn a living.
Well, in plain English, I want to say this.
I thought that was pretty plain
English. I thought you were great, okay. But I just want to say something, me in plain English.
Ooh, let's hear this.
No, no one is saying anything if Biden's position is about the line item worker. No one thinks that there should be any restraint on someone at McDonald's changing to Burger King.
Correct.
That's not a conversation I'm having right now. What I'm having, though, is isn't it in the interest of industry to have important senior vice presidents of major companies having non-competes? Because otherwise, how could you entrust them to run publicly traded companies? If you think about it for a second.
Well, there has to be secrets that they need to know that they can use against them if they didn't have a non-compete.
And when you use the word secrets, though, it's not like secrets are no fun. Secrets hurt someone. It's like the core business. Like, it's not like, hey, I labeled this to be a secret. It's, I know what we're rolling out next. I know about the contracts we're negotiating now.
I know about the ingredients of the secret sauce.
Okay, you could do it like that. That works. And so I'm really concerned, and I think we should all be concerned with this language that he's using. And again, maybe it's just Hooked on Phonics didn't work. It's possible it wasn't written grammatically great. But when I read Federal Trade Commission Act to curtail the unfair use of non-compete clauses. It doesn't say non-compete clauses which are unfair. It says the use of non-compete clauses is fundamentally unfair. That's what I'm hearing here. And I don't get that for a second. So I just want to break out what would happen in non-compete. So Morty, you're going to help us, and I just want to get there. I own a company, or it's a publicly traded company. Doesn't even matter. We hire Mr. X to run the company. Mr. X get paid $500,000 a year. We're not talking about small money. $500,000 a year. Mr. X, we can only give you $100,000 if you can leave whenever you want. But we can give you $500,000 and let you have a higher position, higher control, higher responsibility if you sign this agreement that says, in our industry, not in every industry, just in our industry, you won't work in our city. Not in every city, but in our city. For a period of 1 year, not 5 years, just 1 year. And Mr. X, we want you to know that if we fire you without cause, This isn't an effect. This is only an effect if you get fired for cause or you voluntarily resign because you're not a slave after all. You're an employee. We know you could leave. And we'd rather our competitor in our industry down the block didn't poach you, knew the secret sauce, as Lauren was saying, and then put us out of business.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Isn't that why non-competes are used? That's what I'm asking you. Isn't that the point?
100%. It's used to for the employer to be able to feel like they can entrust this person to run a business or be privy to all this secret information without them being nervous that they're going to leave and use this information somewhere else. So in exchange for that, they're giving somebody a very high salary, giving them the free will to go and take people out and on the company dime in order to build relationships. So without this non-compete, an employer is going to be nervous to be able to give that authority to somebody else.
And to the point, though, is a non-compete, and maybe you know this more than I, but is a non-compete ever enforceable if someone's fired without cause?
It's usually not enforceable.
So if you're fired, if the company just wakes up one day and goes, I hate you, get out. They can't hire you, not give you anything. Now, just to be clear, it could be enforceable if they pay you out when you're fired.
Yes.
But if they owe you nothing in the future, I'm just differentiating. So if you had 2 years left on your contract and I paid you for the other 2 years or we did some sort of severance, it could be enforceable, Lauren. But if
it has
to
be consideration.
Yeah, but if I just said, get lost, I'm not paying you for the rest of the term. It was at will anyway. You're on a non-compete. That's not enforceable.
No. For an at-will relationship like that, no.
So what I'm trying to understand, and maybe how are we supposed to know, because we got to speak to the Biden man, but I don't understand how the FTC could be doing anything. Because, again, just to start off, a non-compete isn't enforceable if it's for too long of a time.
Correct.
Is that true?
Correct.
A non-compete's not enforceable if it's for too big of an area.
Correct.
Which, I'm a little confused about when it comes to tech where it doesn't matter where you work.
Wait, is this state-based laws or federal?
State-based. Okay.
So even though they're state-based, though, Lauren, they're very similar from state to state. Whereas you'll find California is probably the most restrictive, meaning like good luck having a non-compete. But you find different places that have different laws. Like, you know, in New York, we've talked about it before. Radio, you can't have certain non-competes. Law, you can't have certain non-competes. But what I don't understand is, I get it in law and other thing, because right now in New York, although in other states they're changing it, you have to be a professional. You have to be an attorney to own a law firm. So a non-compete for me in law is I'm hiring lawyers. They're doing legal services. So what are they really compete about? Because I have to be there too to own it. But I'm envisioning an entity with an absentee owner. I just want to throw that out there. So let's assume you and I go buy a marina. I'd love to buy a marina.
No, we're not buying a marina.
I would love to buy a marina.
For the record, Andrew's negotiating with me over the air to buy a marina, and I'm giving him a hard no.
So I don't want to be at the marina all the time. I just want to go once in a while.
He wants to buy the marina and hire somebody to run the marina.
So shouldn't that person that knows our strategic plans to put in a lift system, that knows our strategic plans to be able to buy property around the marina and expand, that's part of our conversations negotiating with vendors and getting us contracts to dealer different boats, has the contacts with the dealers, shouldn't that person who knows all our salaries for our staff and knows about our preparedness for erosion control and knows our system. No, seriously, when you have when you have a marina, you have to have a SWOT analysis about threats, you know, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. And climate is definitely a threat, which makes you more or less susceptible to your competitors to get more market share and be able to charge more money.
Andrew just said that really fast. For the people that want to break that down, when you are buying a business or you are investing in a business, you want to look at what are the strengths of the business? What are the weaknesses of the business? What are the threats of the business?
Lauren forgot the opportunities, but the point
How
was.
How do you know I wasn't going to say opportunities?
It's not SWOT.
Well, I am dyslexic in my SWOT.
The vowels
analysis.
Have to go in the middle.
So anyway, what I was saying though is, I would want to have these conversations as an absentee owner with my operator, who I would be hiring, And I would feel completely uncomfortable being an absentee owner of any business. You know, when people say, I'm an investor, like we deal with a lot of clients that buy a business and then they put people in to operate it. And I would feel completely uncomfortable doing that with someone who didn't have some sort of restrictive covenant, a non-compete, because for all I know, what they're doing is using me to learn what to do, create their own marina down the block, steal all my contracts, all my staff, all my everything, and then I'm in that smelly creek without a paddle.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying before. And if you don't allow people to have non-competes, people are going to be very leery before deciding to grow a business and give other people authority to do consequential things.
So when we talk about non-competes though, Lauren, and I wonder what Biden's talking about here, because when you look at the whole thing, it's not just non-competes I'm concerned about, and maybe he's not going to do this. I'm also concerned about non-solicitation, meaning like, are they able to poach my staff? Is he going to stop that? You know, like when you deal with an employee, it's a big thing these days. In brokerage, real estate brokerage, it's a big thing these days. When the salespersons get hired, and salespersons, you'd say generally probably is more like line item, except in brokerage. Why is it different in brokerage? Because they have the buyers and the sellers and the relationships, and they own the contact book. You've seen the case law, and the case law says at the end of the day, the broker, the salesperson, not the company, not the brokerage firm, owns their Rolodex, owns their system. They're the people that own the CRM, the customer relationship management, not the company. So do I want to help a salesperson generate their brand, create their brand if I'm a brokerage firm? Do I want to help them get all these contacts and then let them open up next door to me and compete with me? And then do I want to let them solicit all of my other staff into their new company? You read about all these brokerage firms. I don't know if you've seen this, like EXP. Have you seen this thing, Lauren? And what they do is they all recruit. That's all they're doing all the time. I think there's a few other businesses like Exit. They give like a royalty on other people's business, almost like a
what, pyramid.
What, I'm not saying. So here's the thing. There's these businesses that do this, and so they have brokerage, they have anti-competitive practices as far as non-competes being allowed. And what I'm getting at here is, shouldn't there be freedom of contract? Freedom of contract, isn't that the core principle? A lot of people you meet, Morty, say, I'm a capitalist. The people love that term. Or you're a communist, or you're a socialist. And they use these words like, they're charged in watching TV and learn to repeat what Tucker Carlson says. And I would think that it would be smarter to just say freedom of contract. That's something we learn in law school. Now, do I think someone in a bargaining position, like someone who makes $10 an hour, $20 an hour, $30 an hour, that's a line item worker, do I think that they have equal bargaining position to a contract? No. I get, and that's why the courts say they're not enforceable. But when you're talking about hiring someone who's making $100,000 a year, $200,000 a year, $500,000 a year, $1 million a year, President Biden, if you want to get reelected, stop with this nonsense. And I see an opening for you. Governor Lamont said a good idea. Instead of lowering the beer tax, you got to lower the wine tax. This is the Leapcast. We'll be back next week.
Find us on social media at Listen to Leap or visit listentoleap.com.
Have you faced discrimination in housing, at work, or at any place of public accommodation? Call the Aggressive Lawyers at Liebet Law PC to learn your legal rights at 631-878-4455. That's Liebet Law, 308 West Main Street, Suite 100, Smithtown, New York, at 631-878-4455. Or visit us on the web at liebetlaw.com, L-I-E-B, liebetlaw.com.